pase. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for July 27th, 2018, our last live show for a week. Next week, we'll be having some pre-recorded shows dropping at the same time as usual at 10 a.m. Thanks for Dwayne for his hard work this week recording all those shows. Welcome, Dwayne. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Kevin's going on vacay in the beautiful East Coast. I'm going on, I'm not going on vacay, but I'll be spending most of my time by the airport in Toronto. So it'll be fun. Lots of fun. I'm going to go to the airport, just not going to leave.
Yeah, exactly. Never a dull moment in Major League Soccer. Last night we saw another El Tráfico for the ages, and never a dull moment with the Montreal Impact. That's one thing I've been learning over the last 5 years is you never know what's actually around the corner. We've talked about the potential arrival of Jimmy Briand. Well, potential is the key word because he's not coming to Montreal, Dwayne. He is not coming.
Well, there's no potential anymore. The potential is all gone now, and that's unfortunate for Montreal. And look, there's a lot of weird stuff went down here. We'll get into that in a minute. But I think that the I don't know. Yeah, how about you give me your perspective first on this one? Obviously, the Impact look like there's a bit of egg on their face. The player has a bit of egg in his face. The fans are frustrated. So the agent has a lot of egg in his face. So you set it up, and then we'll have a chat about it.
Okay, so it was there was an agreement on principles between the Jimmy Briand side, his agent, and himself, and the Montreal Impact. The Montreal Impact even made a trade earlier this week with the San Jose Quakes to get an international spot to make some room in the roster for Jimmy Briand, 33-year-old striker from Guingamp. The thing is, Guingamp wanted to let him go, but not as a free transfer like they hoped to, because when he re-signed his contract last year in 2017, Jimmy Briand received a 750,000 euros signing bonus, and they wanted some part of that bonus back. And it was negotiated, and the Impact were able to sign a check. Well, they didn't sign a check. It was conditional to his signing, but they would have given a check to Jimmy Briand for him to pay part of that signing bonus back to Guingamp. This was all in the contract that was actually accepted by Major League Soccer, and they had a deal in place. But at the last minute, on one side, the Impact are saying that there were some additional demands last minute after this contract was approved by MLS. That's the thing in this league, though. Once a contract is approved and it fits into your salary cap, it fits into your TAM and GAM and your non-DP type of signing, you can't really change it and add more stuff. And on the other side, the Jimmy Briand side, they're saying that what they were expecting was it on the paper and that they wanted things in writing to make sure that they come here knowing everything that's going to happen. Like everything in life, the truth is probably somewhere down the middle, but in a salary cap league, in a negotiation as well, when you add something after you had an agreement on principles, it never looks good on you, it never looks good on the people representing you, and it just doesn't show the commitment or the willingness to come over here for the right reason. And if we go back to the beginning of the season, Rémy Gard, the coach of the Montreal Impact, always mentioned one thing. It's good to have players wanted to come here, but they need to come here for the right reasons. When you're trying to negotiate and add things at the last minute, which could be the case in this year, doesn't really show that you're coming for the right reason. So, again, the truth is probably somewhere down the middle. We probably won't know on really what happened on both sides, but when the agent does like 5-6 radio interviews with all different people in this market from overseas to give their perspective, it doesn't really look good as well. You never negotiate in public, and once you do, it's because you're trying to control the narrative. And the Impact, this is why they reacted this morning at training as well. So yeah, it doesn't look good on both sides, and I guess the Impact are the true losers in that one. They're not getting a player that could have helped them as soon as next week.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, he's a player that we think was going to be more mentor, more like a role player in some ways when we broke it down last week. And certainly I think he could have helped the Impact a little bit, but I wouldn't lose a lot of sleep over losing him. There are other players of similar talents out there. So the Impact just have to get down to business of finding them at this point. But in terms of how this plays out, there's a lot to unpack here. The first thing I'll say is that, look, this happens to every club in the world at some point or another. There's players and agents and all that will say stuff and go through the press, and it doesn't matter whether you're in Major League Soccer, whether you're in the USL, or whether you're in La Liga. This will happen from time to time, and this is the Impact's term. Impact's turn right now to have it happen. So it's unfortunate that way. Now, the one thing that I would say, if I was giving a lesson to the Impact right now, and this is a lesson that could go to any club in the world anywhere, is use the holding the shirt up rule. Do not make an announcement, no matter how much noise is happening behind the scenes, no matter how much everyone really already kind of knows. Do not make any formal announcement linking yourself, formal or informal announcement, linking yourself to a player until there is a photograph of him holding his shirt up. Then you can do whatever you want. And that's the biggest mistake the Impact made in this, is that they sort of said he was already coming and then this fell through, because stuff falls through sometimes. And in terms of why it fell through is kind of irrelevant to that lesson, Kevin. But
By the way, the reaction of the club only came after Briand's former club, En Avant-Guingamp in France, actually said that he was leaving for Montreal and the agent. So that issue was pushed from overseas first, and then there was not necessarily confirmation, but more tongue-in-cheek type of comments on social media. And of course, when you mention the player by name on social media, you kind of lay the expectations that he's going to come, and you're almost stuck between a rock and a hard place, where that is probably why an agent would take advantage of this and say, well, yeah, you already announced that he was going to come back, he was going to come, so how about you give us a bit more money? Or how about you give this clause? Or wait, oh, we actually want a house and a car and more money. Which, in Major League Soccer, those terms actually are included in the salary and would change his status from a time player to maybe a DP player. And Montreal maybe didn't want to overextend their possibilities there. So there's a lot to say on what. But just in business talk here, when you have an agreement on principles and you agree on a certain something, and in the last minute, when you know that the club is almost, I say club, but it could be the business, when the business is like, yeah, we already announced you're coming, and then you ask us for more money, yeah, it's a negotiating ploy that is, in my personal experience or in my views of sports for a long time, is a bit of a bad tactics. And one of the best ways to explain this, Dwayne, and I'm going to use a combat sport analogy here, a lot of boxers or fighters or even wrestlers over the years have used this tactic. All right, I'm the headliner. Example, Conor McGregor. I'm the headliner of this whatever pay-per-view that's going to happen. Well, I'm not going to show up if you don't give me a million more. And you're stuck by, well, we already made the publicity. We already printed the posters. It's already sold pay-per-view, so we're going to give it to you. But then you fire him the next day. That's a bit of the tactics that, for me, is a bit malicious.
Yeah, and look, we don't know exactly what was said and what was not said. And the other side of this is potentially there was promises made that were informal promises. And that's something, again, that I think happens across the league. This isn't a Montreal blame thing, but it's possible they said, you know, you come here and we can't pay you this much. And this is why, because of the salary cap. And they explain all the MLS rules. And they can explain all the MLS rules as much as they want. Some of these guys just don't hear it, right? They just don't understand. They never will wrap their head around the fact that they can't just give him an extra $100,000, because to them, that's what they're used to dealing with. So they might have said something like, you know what, you come here, we're going to take care of your family. Or you come here, we're going to make sure your wife gets a little shop that she can run or whatever.
A nice job.
We're going to give your mom.
Yeah, a nice job at a certain factory, or maybe a summer job at something, you know. Yeah, we've seen those tactics happen a long time before. Rocket Richard was working for Molson in the summer to get around some of the rules back then, so you never know.
Yeah, I mean, Benoit Giroux here in Toronto was, you know, pretty much his last year he played for the league minimum, but there was an understanding that he was getting offered a full-time coaching position upon retirement, and that's what happened. So that's not on the cap, and that's just creative ways that you can get around stuff like this, and you see it all the time. Like even in the NHL, when you're talking about bigger scales, MLSE uses that to their advantage quite a bit. I'm sure if you look at John Tavares's contract, here, bingo card, we talked about hockey, that you'll see, you know, some promises that are beyond the salary cap, right? Like, I mean, there's creative ways, and it's maybe even likely that the Impact had some of these things promised here, and then they just weren't in the MLS contract, and there was something that they just didn't get, that they wanted to see them in the contract and couldn't wrap their head around the fact that they couldn't be in the contract. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's possible as well.
But in life, when you defend yourself really hard, sometimes it's because you have something to cover up. So there's that aspect too. And the agent, he's defending himself pretty hard right now.
It's also possible that they got another offer that came after they had agreed to this in principle. And rather than being upfront about it, they just decided to sabotage the negotiations so that they could pursue this other offer, because the world is shady, and that might have happened as well.
And you know what? Usually, it's about money. And I wouldn't be surprised if in this case, it's about money too.
No, everything's about money. I mean, ultimately, you know, I shouldn't say that so flippantly, but often money is the root of everything. Money and comfort in a situation. And it's unfortunate because this has played out. But ultimately, you know, this is going to be a big sort of talking point for today, maybe even the weekend.
Yeah.
Monday won't be as much. And then by next week, this time, we're barely going to remember this guy's name because he never played.
Yeah.
And as I said, there are, I don't know if there's 1,000 other guys like that, him out there, but there
might
be.
There's a few hundred of those players for sure. And wouldn't be surprised if Montreal turns themselves and look, South America, how you doing? What's your equivalent to Jimmy Briand? And we're actually going to save money on it. So the thing is, they have an international spot now. So why not find a way to use it?
Well, and look, therein is why they go to South America. It's not so much just about the talent. There's a lot of talent down there, clearly. But it's also about the fact that European guys come in and they have different expectations than the South American guys, who are often, especially if they come from Colombia or Peru or places where checks don't clear as often as you'd like.
Yeah.
They're happy to get the salary. They're less worried about that sort of stuff. And $300,000 to them, US dollars, it's, remember they're paying USD, is a lot of money for them. And they're happy to take that, because especially if they think that, you know, in this case, he's 33 or 32 or whatever. He's not probably moving on to another contract. But when they're younger, they're especially okay. We take, you get a little bit more in Europe, but this is an easier transition. And there's like 5 other Latin guys on the team, and I'm going to make good money, and then I can maybe springboard somewhere else down the line. So that's why South America is such a popular place to get players in MLS.
A la Miguel Almiron, right? And that's kind of interesting. But so that's a bit of the situation, Montreal and Jimmy Briand now. We'll see what Montreal actually turns around to do, and they've announced that they're going to look at other options, and that's why the mercato, the transfer season has been quiet so far for Montreal, because they were trying to get that deal done, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of negotiations, and just the fact that they had a contract approved by MLS, that's a few days, it's lawyers, it's a lot of mathematicians looking at all the things and making sure those are kosher. So you do have that aspect. It takes time. Now Montreal's solely geared to finding another solution, maybe not another striker, maybe another solution. And Montreal talked about, we're going to gear ourselves towards another option, plan B. It's time for plan B, and not plan B for Briand, plan B for the second plan they had in mind. So that's done. Last night, Dwayne, another classic game, El Tráfico number 2. What an atmosphere at Banc of California Stadium. And once again, LAFC could not hold on to a lead late in the game. What a blunder by Horta that actually made one of the worst back pass I've ever seen, that saw Camara scored a tying goal. 2-2 in this amazing game. So far, this rivalry after two games hasn't disappointed. I was entertained.
Yeah, look, I will forever be fascinated by the NYCFC, the NRN, New York Red Bulls, let's just say it outright rather than try and get acronyms, as well as the LAFC versus Galaxy rivalry, because I don't quite understand where these guys were before, you know, the team came in, because they're obviously open to MLS, so where the hell did the fans come from? I can't understand it, because I'm not from those cities, and I can't get the geographical sort of divides that they have there, I suppose. I mean, I live in a big city, so it's not like I don't understand what it's like to have different cultures in different parts of the cities, but it still seems bizarre to me. But at any rate, no, for sure. And the other comparison I'll make to the NYCFC versus NYRB rivalry is that it seems like the team that is a little bit better generally, particularly in the early years, isn't able to sort of convert that to the actual performance in the derby game, because the NYCFC has been more successful than the Red Bulls over the past couple of years on the pitch, but they can't seem to beat them, although it's turning a little bit now. And yeah, it seems like LAFC, they're better than the Galaxy right now. The Galaxy kind of have their number. So that's sort of an interesting dynamic.
It just can't hold on. 4-4, a classic.
I suppose, yeah. No one can defend.
And just remember that classic game where Zlatan literally overcame a situation in the first game to a big deficit come back. And in this game, it was 2-0, and they couldn't hold on to the lead as well late in the game. But what I take out of this game is Marc-Anthony Kane. 20 minutes into the game, he rolled his left ankle pretty badly and had to leave the game. That's unfortunate. Marc-Anthony Kane has been one of the standouts in LAFC this season, surprising a lot of pundits with his play and showing that he belongs, showing that he actually does temper the midfield and distributes and relaxes the tempo and finds ways to find his teammates. And once he got off the pitch, it wasn't the same team, and LAFC could not hold on to their lead, and I don't think those are coincidences. We wish a prompt recovery for Marc-Anthony Kane. We're friends of the show, and we always like to talk about him because we believe he's a bit underrated still, and MAK, one of the best young Canadian players in Major League Soccer right now.
If he was eligible to win Rookie of the Year, I think he'd be hands down the Rookie of the Year leader right now. I think Marc-Anthony Kane would, regular starter and one of the best teams in the West. Absolutely a strong season. Now, the unfortunate part about this is because LAFC has reinforcements coming in the center of the midfield, obviously in a DP position. If Marc-Anthony Kane's out for a long time, then he may have to struggle to get that position back, which he had seemed to lock down, as you say. So hopefully this is, you know, precautionary at the time. Maybe there's some swelling that they can get down with ice and rest and so on and so forth. But it is unfortunate, as I said. So, look, yeah, he's had a brilliant season, and he's a smart kid. He's a kid that worked hard to get to his position. He reinvented himself several times. I first covered Marc-Anthony Kane in League One Ontario 3.5 seasons ago. He was an attacking winger type at that point. He was a goal-scoring player. Every time he's moved on, they have slightly tweaked his position so that he has finally found a home. And where I think, you know, on a Canadian national team perspective and at a club perspective, he is going to hold down that holding midfield spot for a long time. I think that this guy is the next to Thibaut Hutchison in the Canadian system.
Imagine,
that's his role.
Imagine Piet and MAK as defensive midfielders for Canada. Not bad. Not bad at all.
You put the two of them in front of a back line, and one of the problems Canada's had in the past is sort of, you know, being able to defend in hostile environments. And if you're playing in more defensive shell, those two guys sitting on top of four defenders, and I still think we need to develop more central defenders, but that's a topic for another day. But it will definitely add some spine to that. And we have some great attacking talent up front, obviously, with the Davies and Jordan Hamilton, even, I think, even though he doesn't play as much in MLS as we'd like, he still shows a knack for scoring. Kyle Lahren will eventually score for
Jackson?
Canada, I'm pretty sure of it. Yeah.
Jackson? Don't forget about Jackson for Canada.
Junior Hollett.
Yeah. And so Liam Miller is going to be important for Canada, too. So you're looking at a young crop of Canadian growing up, literally, in front of our eyes, but growing up together and having a new core for Canada's national team. So hopefully Marc-Anthony Kane is good enough when it comes to the fall to be in Canada's plans for the Nations League. Hopefully he plays against Dominica at BMO Field in September.
Look, we have a lot of American listeners, so I'm going to speak directly to you. I would argue in some ways, if you look at Canada's under 23 crop right now and compare it to the Americans under 23 crop, it's at the very least it's equal, I would think, in terms of potential. Now the U.S. has some advantage in terms of depth, there's no doubt, and I'm not here to argue that Canada is close to the U.S. on overall talent yet, but I do take some solitude, take some strength in the fact that there is a lot of younger players that seem to be putting a nice little looking team together. It's pretty thin, it doesn't go much beyond 15 players right now, But I do like what I see, and I'm excited for the future of this moving forward. And if they could add a certain guy at Barcelona, then I'm really excited for this moving forward. But
hello, Balu. We're talking about you again. I know, we're annoying, but come on. Choose us, please.
Yeah.
You know, he's like the girl in school that you keep trying to ask her how, you know, you keep trying every single time. She always says no. She receives your little, would you go out with me, with a little square that says yes, a little square that says no, and a little square that says maybe. He keeps checking maybe, so we keep asking.
They used to, back when I was in high school, we used to, you know, holidays, they'd have the graphs, like you'd buy like a candy and they'd deliver to the class with, you know, a little message on it, or a pumpkin at Halloween or stuff like that. I don't know if they still do that in high schools, because they just text each other now. But
that's how I asked my the woman I went to the prom with. That's how I did it. Yeah, you set a rose through the school and you have a little note that says, would you come to the prom? Yes, no, potentially yes, maybe. And you received the check mark back. Who knows? It worked for me. Maybe it'll work for Baloo. So to all our fans out there, continue to ask Baloo to please join Canada. Make him feel welcome. Make him feel like he's part of us. Because he is. We saw him before with that red jersey on him at the youth level. And he looked pretty damn good in it.
Maybe that's what we should do. We should start a campaign to send like
flowers,
gram notes, like notes leaves to Barcelona B with Baloo's name on it, with just like hearts and like beavers smiling with flowers and stuff like that.
Maple syrup. Like, come on, man, join us. A little poutine or something.
Yeah, that'd be funny. So I encourage Soccer Today listeners to do that for us. And even you American listeners, you kind of have a soft spot for it. You're listening to us. You must have a soft spot. Help us out. Do this, please. Send Baloo to us.
I just want to continue on the LAFC game for a second. It was on TSN2 last night in Canada here on an ESPN in the United States. So we had the USA, the US feed on our TSN screen. Have to say, Dwayne, I love listening to Taylor Twellman comment a game. I do have a soccer crush on Taylor Twellman, and get Taylor Twellman on Soccer Today. That's my new goal. We had Alexi Lawless last year. Taylor, it's your turn. Come on. Answer the call. Come on the show, please.
Yeah, Taylor Twellman's one of my favorites. Yeah, no, I think a lot of people, there was a stereotype of what Taylor Twellman was when he first started, because he is a little bro-y. And I say that with love. He has a little bit of that sort of frat boy kind of look to him, and sort of he was viewed as a jock because he was a jock, but he's actually quite thoughtful and one of the best working analysts out there right now. And I very much, he's my favorite MLS American analyst. I would say that.
Stu Olden is pretty good too with their experience. And you know, it's kind of funny because Bradley Wright Phillips broke Taylor Twellman's record with the least amount of games to score 100 goal in MLS, and of course the celebration by BWP on Wednesday was kind of appropriate, where he's wearing number 99, scores a goal, takes the shirt off, and he's number 100. It was kind of fitting, and it was interesting to hear Taylor Twellman trying to rant kind of about it in the halftime segment. But for me, what was important is an American media personality actually called out all American teams in an ESPN broadcast about solidarity fees. It didn't last that long. He just was able to slip that comment in, but it makes a lot of sense. He said, you know, it's funny when you have a Vancouver signing Davies, and when the money trickles down, everyone gets behind the project and no one is just counting their chips. They're just counting everyone's chips together. And I guess that's a little shot to MLSPU and American teams that do not respect the FIFA rules of solidarity payments to the clubs that actually trained and form those players.
And look, this, as we've said before, this is not the first time a solidarity payment has been paid in Canada. Daniel Henry was the first time that we know of for sure, and that's been on record for a while. But the profile of the Davies signing means that people are finally noticing in the States, and they're asking the right questions. Because as I said, I don't know how many days ago it was earlier this week when we talked about this, that I believe that this is one of the most important issues facing American soccer right now, if not the most important issue, and it's a fixable issue. So if they fix this, it's one great thing that can help make the overall system better. And it's a rare case where we in Canada could point to something we're doing and going, this is the right way, guys, follow us for once. And I think that maybe hopefully people were listening to that and continue to listen to this issue, which is complicated for people to understand. And it has a weird name, solidarity fees. Like, what does that mean? So that, you know, it's hard to resonate with people. It's much easier to talk about ProRel and talk about this and that. But no, this is more important.
No ProRel talk. This is banned from the show.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. It is interesting. All right, let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll quickly talk about the games this weekend. There's a few cracker of a game that are looking really interesting for the standings aspect, and we'll come back right after this very short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
To all Canadian soccer fans, you liked our little conversation about Canada and Canadian soccer? You can get an exclusive show mostly once a week on patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solitudes Soccer Podcast for patrons only. $1 a solitude, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. And thank you to all the Patreons that we have. This really helps us continue to run the network, the shows, and to be able to give you the production values that you are now expecting from us. Dwayne, a few interesting games this weekend in Major League Soccer before we wrap things up for the live shows for next week. New York Red Bulls, Columbus tomorrow night. That's an interesting one for the standings as well.
Yeah, no, the East is pretty interesting right now across the board, but certainly Columbus has been a little bit lackluster for the past few months, and I think we can all sort of understand why that is. But you know, New York is a fascinating team every year, but they seem to be stuck in sort of that third, fourth position. So for sure, this is a vital game for both of these teams, and one that you know, my focus is entirely on the bottom right now, which I didn't anticipate at the start of the year. But certainly the top has some.
That's how it feels. It's not easy, but that's how usually Canadian teams feels. So welcome back to 2014.
Oh, trust me, I've been there for a long time prior to that, so it's not that hard for me to get back used to it. But yes, it was a nice 2-year vacation.
A cracker of a game that could be tomorrow night, Montreal Impact, Atlanta United. The games between those two teams have not been boring over the last 2 years, and I expect the game tomorrow night to be the same way. The Argentine contingent in Montreal, so basically Piatti, when they play against Miguel Amaron and other in Atlanta, you do feel that there's a styles makes fight, right? Styles makes fight. Great type of tactics and setup for teams makes great game. And I expect the Montreal Impact Atlanta United game to be very interesting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. By the way, the time has been changed. It was 7:30 before. It's at 7 p.m. So make sure you get to Stade Saputo in time.
Yeah, no, for sure. And look, it's vital. Montreal has done a nice little run to get themselves back into above that red line, although the line's now black on MLSsoccer.com, so I need them to fix that. It needs to be red. My literal brain needs that line to be red. but, I mean, you look at the bottom of that standings, and you know, Chicago or Toronto is going to get points this week, one of those two, you know, so there's going to be them creeping up more than that. DC United's got their signing there. You never know. They're not completely out of it yet either, I don't think. So it's a mess. I mean, you look at where Montreal stands right now, 28 points. They're 5 points behind the Crew. If the Crew were to lose that game against the Red Bulls, then suddenly they're back in play, right? And that's a home game. So is that a home game? Yeah, that's a home game. So that's something that you want to be looking at.
Toronto-Chicago is fascinating to me as well, because two teams that are in opposite end right now, but Chicago it's never easy for Chicago. And this year hasn't been as successful as last year, at least on the playing style and on the results on the pitch. Toronto needs, obviously, points, and they're playing at home against Chicago 7 p.m. tomorrow night. You mentioned DC United. They have a good opportunity of a result this weekend. They're facing Colorado at Audi Field, so this could be interesting. I expect Wayne Rooney to maybe have a start in this one and maybe have a goal as well. Even in the Eastern Conference with the late games, Dwayne, it is interesting. Kansas City, FC Dallas, two teams that are having good seasons. Dallas is, of course, top of the Western Conference as we speak. Kansas City's not too far behind. Last night, of course, we had the LA Derby, LAFC second, LA Galaxy fourth, which for the Galaxy, Dwayne, that's a big turn of event, big turn of situation over the last eight games unbeaten streak for Siggy Schmidt and his crew. And you're seeing good results there. But to go back to Kansas City and Dallas tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, this is a game that is very important in two teams that are not making a lot of waves outside of their good results and their consistency this year.
No, look, hold on. Sorry, someone just came into my room here. Sorry.
No,
yeah,
no. Yeah. Then we could just take the door off. Yes, so Kansas City and Dallas is fascinating to me, and we'll have more details when we come back. But it's two teams that are expected to be top of the Western Conference by the end of the season. And we'll see if it happens. Vancouver, Minnesota is another game that for me is very interesting. Does Vancouver continue on their momentum that they gained on Wednesday with their win in the Canadian Championship? They're moving on to the final to face TFC, their first game post Davies. Yes, he's going to come back. I don't know if he's going to play against Minnesota, but in Vancouver, it's going to be an interesting game. Vancouver wants to be above that line. They're not right now. Minnesota could be a team that they can take points out of, but it's never that easy. And Minnesota, as much as they had a good string of results, they had they trumped LAFC last week. So you have that aspect for Minnesota. Now, San Jose, Real Salt Lake could be interesting, but it's not necessarily the most compelling game this weekend. But Portland, Houston tomorrow at 11 p.m. Eastern, a late one, could be fascinating too. So I think we just lost Wayne, so we'll wrap the show with those ones. Two more games on Sunday. Seattle Sounders, NYCFC, Sunday, 5 p.m. Seattle Sounders have been a bit of a disappointment this year, and they're facing a good team. They're at home, though, so maybe Seattle can get some result. And the Galaxy playing on Sunday versus Orlando. Can the Galaxy continue on their great run? Can the Galaxy get some points? I would think that on Sunday night, it's one of my, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, maybe I should have bet money on France to win the World Cup. I would have won a big bunch of money. But LA Galaxy on Sunday night would be my bet of the week against Orlando. And the other one would be maybe, and that's a stretch, Montreal has not had one tie this season. They kind of do for a tie game. Montreal-Atlanta, this seems like a 2-2 game to me on Sunday. So here's my parlay for the weekend before we say good day and good night. Montreal 2, Atlanta 2. I would put money on that. And I would put money on a 3 points for the LA Galaxy. As always, you can follow myself on social media at Kev Laramie. You can follow Dwayne as well at 24th Minute. Next week, we're taking a week off, but that does not mean no shows. It means no live shows, but podcasts will be posted every single day at 10 a.m. as usual, available on our website, sportspodcastingnetwork.com, and anywhere you get your podcast, just look for Soccer Today or the Sports Podcasting Network, and you will find our podcast. Thank you for your subscription. Thank you for your pledges at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. I'm going to the beach. I'm going to get myself a little bit of a rest and coming back stronger than ever not next Monday, but the one after. And as always, until next time, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie, and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.